Foundations, lesson number 19, Stewardship, Tithing, and Giving. David Livingstone once said, "I will place no value on anything I may possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. If anything I have will advance the interests of that kingdom, it shall be given away or kept, only so that by giving or keeping it, I may promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time and eternity." An unknown author wrote, "The person who dedicates his money to God is dedicating himself, the fruit of his time, talent, and energy. One who fails to dedicate his money has not fully committed himself to God." As we can see from the two quotes above, how we handle our money and our possessions is highly important to God. I'd like to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. Jesus is speaking and he says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" These verses show us some of what's at stake in how we handle the money and possessions God has entrusted into our care. The big issue is, can He trust us? And the answer to that question has huge implications. How we handle, quote, worldly wealth, unquote, seems to be the determining factor in whether or not we receive true riches. Now, these true riches are not defined, but whatever they refer to is obviously far more valuable than the money and the wealth that we are handling now, which should help us realize that what we're doing now has massive implications for the future, and it has massive implications for our relationship to the Almighty here and now. We can please God or displease God here and now by the way in which we handle worldly wealth. We can receive fewer true riches or greater true riches by how we handle worldly wealth today. With that in mind, let's look at Roman numeral number 1 on our outline, stewardship. And the main truth we need to understand is that God owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Does that mean that the chair you're sitting on belongs to God? That it's actually His? Yes, it does. Does that mean that the people of the unreached tribes in Papua New Guinea who have never heard the gospel message actually belong to God? Sure it does. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It belongs to God. He's the owner of it all. Psalm 50, "I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." God is speaking, and He says, "It's all mine." Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." John 3:27, to this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven." Or in the Good News Translation, "No one can have anything unless God gives it to him." And 1 Corinthians 10:26, "For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it." So the first truth that we need to understand and embrace when it comes to stewardship is that God owns everything. The second truth we need to understand is a direct consequence of the first truth, and it's this. We are managers or stewards who will be required to give an account of our management. In other words, whatever possessions we may have don't actually belong to us, they belong to God. He owns them, they're His. God is letting us use them, and the way we use them can either please God or displease God. So when our life is over, we will have to give an account to the Almighty of how we managed His possessions for Him. He let us use them, but we will be held responsible for whether or not we used them the way He wanted us to use them. For example, Jesus tells us the parable of the talents. You can read it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. In that story, a man goes on a journey, but before he leaves, he calls his servants together and entrusts his money into their care. He gives each servant an amount of money that he believes they can handle. Some get more, some less. Then when he gets back from his journey, he calls his servants in, and they have to give a report on how they handled his money. Those who handled it well get rewarded, and the guy who did nothing with that money gets thrown out. That story is a picture of our lives. In this life, God has entrusted us with some of his property. He has invested things into our lives. But because it all belongs to him, not to us, we will have to, one day, stand before him and give an account of what we did with the things that he entrusted into our care. Those who have managed his property well will be rewarded, and those who did not please him will suffer the consequences. So, as our outline says, we are managers, or stewards, who will be required to give an account of our management. In Matthew 18:23, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." I won't read the next two passages on the outline from Matthew 25, but I would encourage you to read them carefully on your own. Both of them give us powerful pictures that show us that we will have to give an account for our lives to the King of the universe. Then in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it says this: God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Also from 2 Corinthians 5, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So again, there are possessions that we have in this life, but we don't own them. God does. We will have to give an account to him when we're all done of how we managed that which belonged to him. The best picture of this arrangement in Scripture comes from Genesis chapter 39, where Joseph is serving in the house of Potiphar. Let me read you that passage of Scripture. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care.'" What was Joseph managing for Potiphar? Everything. Of all that Joseph was managing, how much did he own? Absolutely nothing. If Potiphar had told Joseph to take off his sandals and give them to one of the other servants, he would have had to do that. Joseph didn't even own the clothes on his back or the sandals on his feet, but he managed everything. In the same way, we don't even own the clothes on our back or the shoes on our feet. We are managing these things for the one who owns them all, the King of the universe. And when we're done, he will judge how well we managed his possessions. When I try to illustrate this truth in a Sunday morning sermon, I get a plastic Ziploc bag and I put 100 M&Ms in it, 50 of them green and 50 of them red. Then I find some young person, preferably a teenager, and ask them to come up and help me. I inform them that the red M&Ms belong to me, but the green M&Ms are theirs. They can do with those green M&Ms whatever they want. Then I hand them the bag and I tell them that I want 5 red M&Ms. After they give me 5 red M&Ms, I have them give away various numbers of red M&Ms to various people in the congregation. Then I tell them that I want 5 green M&Ms. Usually, someone will object, whether the teenager or someone in the congregation, and I try to get them to voice their displeasure nice and loud. Once everyone has sufficiently heard their objections, I give the teenager all the remaining M&Ms to keep and thank them for having helped me. Then I preach that the main reason people fail to obey God in the area of finance is that they believe their money is green M&Ms, not red M&Ms. In other words, people dishonor and disobey God in the area of their finances and possessions almost always because they have not believed, they have not accepted, they have not understood, they have not become convinced of the truth that everything they have belongs to God. They still think it's theirs. So when God says to give some away, they raise objections. They have an attitude of, who are you, God, to tell me what to do with my finances, with my possessions? It's all mine. Please hear me. The heart that is beating inside your chest right now, even that doesn't belong to you. You didn't make it. God did. It's his. So is everything you think you own. We are managers, not owners. If you view yourself as an owner and not as a manager, you will not have the interests of the real owner in mind when you manage his stuff. The colors of the M&Ms I select is calculated. Green stands for envy and red for the blood of Christ. Let us always have the best interests of our Lord and Savior in mind with everything of his that we are managing. And that's called stewardship, by the way. That's the Bible name for what we're talking about. Let's say you go into your garage and build a 10 by 10 table, put sides on it, and close it, and put a colony of ants in it. You make sure the ants have all the food they need, all the right kinds of soil, all the water, and you take excellent care of them. Then, if you see one ant grabbing something away from another ant, you might get a little upset with the grabbing ant. You might even say, not that the ants could hear you, because they can't, hey, I gave you ants more than enough. Stop that. Remember, I could squish you if I wanted to. Have you ever considered that there is similarity between our having created a habitat for the ants and God having provided everything for us? Several years ago, there was a man in the congregation who told me squarely, everything I have, I worked hard to get. It's mine. My blood, sweat, and tears went into it. I have the right to do with it all I want. But what does the scripture say? From Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is speaking to Israel. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. God has given us the strength, the ability, and the wisdom to earn it. God has given us the other people who are willing and able to pay us to work for them. God has put us at the right place at the right time to make it all happen. Let's be careful to acknowledge him as the true owner of all things. No one can have anything unless God gives it to him.